beginning our meditations to establish a solid awareness and mindfulness of the body, grounding, mindfulness in the experience of the body, that in many images that the Buddha uses for the concentration and meditation, and the Buddha uses those images of the body, or relating to the body, so that they when the Buddha is describing say like first jhana as with the image of the bathman or the bathman's apprentice taking the soap and the water and mixing it together so that there's that integrating of the water, and so that it's a consistency that is not too sloppy, not too dry, with the water and the bath powder. In the same way that sort of the awareness and the experience of the body, awareness is within the body, and the experience of well-being is sort of integrated, spread through the body. And the other images that the Buddha uses as well, of the water coming up into a lake, coming up from a spring, so that the cool spring water sort of spreads, pervades. I can't remember the idioms that are used, but pervading and spreading through the lake, in the same way that kind of awareness and well-being is spread through the body. So that taking the breath as a object of attention and awareness, and to allow one's experience of the breath and experience of awareness to move through the body, or to be attentive to the body, so that there's and there may be a focal point that one is using, in the sense of one's maybe attending to a sensation of the breath, but one doesn't isolate that from the rest of the experience of the body. In the same way that if I'm sitting here talking with my eyes open, my primary focus of attention is the microphone in front of me, but that doesn't mean I'm unaware of the other things around me. Either myself or the other people around in the room. There's the object of attention is not attended to in a way that it's excluding anything else. It's just that one's able to sustain attention and it's not the as one becomes more attentive and aware, the actual that's part of the function of say of sampajanya, of clear comprehension, to be attentive to the circumstances around one as well, so that we take the sensation of the breath and to establish awareness on the breath, and to experiment with the either the following of the sensation of the breath from the tip of the nose into the body down to the abdomen, and using that whole track or that whole sensation of movement as a focal point, but there's still an awareness of posture. There's awareness of whether the body's relaxed or not relaxed, what the actual experience of the body is, and similarly, if one picks a particular point that one wants to settle the attention on one particular point, whether it's at the tip of the nose or the sensation of the breath as it touches say the upper lip, or sensation in the back toward the back of the throat or the chest or the abdomen, it doesn't really matter, just to one establishing that as a main focal point. But that isn't, again, one's not trying to exclude the experience of the rest of the body. It's just that there's a primary focal point, and then there's a general sphere of awareness that is alert and attentive to the other realms of the experience of the breath and the body. And similar to in a dark room, if you've got a candle lit, you've got a focal point of light, but then you've got sort of an extension of a sphere of light around that, moving through the whole room, or a spider in its web. Spider is sitting in the middle of the web, but its awareness extends out through the whole the extent of the web itself. If a spider just sort of it made its web and then sat in the middle and that's all it focused on, they wouldn't have evolved very much further than that. There are a lot of dead spiders around, but it's because the nature of that awareness extends out that it's successful creature. So for us as meditators, it's similar. We take that sensation of the breath as a focal point, but there's also the experience of the body, the experience of the sensation of the breath, how we're experiencing the breath. Is the breath a long breath or a short breath? Is it rough? Is it smooth? Is it refined? Is it coarse? And one can still be centered and solidly having one's awareness established at one point, but one still knows okay, was that a long breath? Was that a short breath? You don't have to be sort of each breath having sort of whip out a measuring tape and try to get a reading on it. It's just this through one's alertness and attention, one is recognizing what the experience is, that paying attention at that point, allowing the awareness and mindfulness to settle, become more firm, more solid. But that again, that sense of solid, focused attention doesn't have to exclude. You're not trying to shut out aspects of experience. One's just trying to clarify what the experience is. So paying attention to the breath as it comes in, paying attention to the breath as it comes out. Grounding experience in the experience of the body. There's the Buddha also saying to experiencing the whole body, sampagaya, all of the body, the whole body, as one is breathing in, experiencing the whole body as one is breathing out. And you know, obviously one has to make some choices, and one can be, because if one's taking it literally, then one ends up, as I say, literally as an injunction, I have to experience my whole body. I have to, and then as I breathe in, and it's sort of running around trying to, okay, every little toe I'm going to get in. I missed that toe last breath, and it's one gets sort of frantically trying to fulfill some sort of imaginary statement of the Buddha's, I mean, or some literal interpretation of it. So that that sense of grounding awareness of the breath in the experience of the body, and then one can be having kind of a global perception of the body, how one's experiencing it, whether one is feeling, one that says, okay, how's my posture? Is my posture upright? Am I leaning this way, leaning that way? Am I comfortable? And then sometimes one can be shifting one's awareness as one breathes in and breathes out, in the sense of as one breathes in, breathing into the different areas of the body, so that the body is actually it's sort of like breathing life into the body. That's what that word like anapanasati, the breath, it's kind of a life force. It's what enlivens these material elements, and keeps it alive. So that too, as one is sitting and breathing in, and just experiencing, what does it feel like in one's right shoulder, breathing into the right shoulder. breathing out, breathing in, feeling the breathing to the left shoulder, and breathing out from the left shoulder. Just that moving awareness around the body, so that the body becomes engaged, becomes a body-mind project, and there's an energizing quality that comes from that. As the body is both engaged and say not neglected, there's a because sometimes we try to focus so hard on trying to keep one's attention on one little sphere of sensation at the tip of the nose, and then as a meditation object or wherever one picks it, and then there's the rest of the experience of the body is kind of forgotten, neglected. And it drifts off into dullness because it's not being attended to. So as we practice, and especially in the early stages of establishing awareness and energizing the whole system, it's important to do that. Sambhagaya Patisangvete, that experiencing the whole body, I breathe in. Experiencing the whole body, I breathe out. That sense of bringing energy into the whole body-mind complex. And as one does that, there's a kind of awareness, attention, an enlivened sense of the body-mind experience. Then there's an energizing taking place, then one can actually settle after on one particular focal point that where the mind can absorb into that sensation, but it's doing it not at the exclusion of, but as a way of resting and settling and taking it, the mind, the sort of the whole body mind complex is alert and present, and then there's the interest can then absorb into the sensation. It's very natural, and that's where the concentration or samadhi is not a strain. One doesn't have to force. Is there just the word concentration often has a connotation of having to force the mind to be doing something unnatural, and that's not sustainable. Whereas if there's the awareness and attention is alert and alive, and the interest is then drawn to a particular point, it will stay there. But if there hasn't been that base of alertness there, and kind of aliveness of the whole body mind system, then it tends to collapse on itself. It's not sustainable. So that to pay attention to the Buddha's instructions. I mean, the Buddha actually understood how these things work. So that to explore what those implications are, what the results are, explore the application and recognize what happens. That relaxing the body, and in this, and he uses a different term, and I say that experiencing the whole body and breathing, experiencing the whole body and breathing, and sampakaya, and then calming the body conditioner, gaya sankhara, and so the formation of the body, and I mean there's a discourse where the Buddha points directly to the in breath and out breath as the kaya sankhara, the body conditioner, so that one can be taking it somewhat literally of the calming the body, but then calming the breath. Now, the breath body is maybe a way to express it, and both of those are I think quite valid, and to approach the practice with that, because there is a need for that calming, tranquilizing, settling, a conscious settling of the body mind process, so that one is bringing a settled quality to that, and paying attention to how we experience the in breath and the out breath. Because that in itself is a body of sorts, just that experience of the because that's the form, the shape, the feeling that it takes, to pay attention to that. And then being attentive to its calming and settling as one breathes in, to how to make that as smooth and as peaceful and as kind of relaxing and settling as possible. How to do that with the rest of the body. Because our breath is not isolated from the rest of the body. How do we allow the breath to calm the rest of the body, to settle, to bring a tranquility into the experience of the body? And of course, that is going to directly affect the mind itself. It just is a natural result. So that this attention to calming, soothing, settling, but one can't sacrifice, alertness and energy for that. So that if one is directing attention to calming and settling, and then the mind is drifting into dullness, then one has to pay attention to the ways of bringing up energy, moving awareness around, so that there's an inherent alertness and attentiveness there. Any meditation that is lacking in awareness, a quality of knowing clearly, it's not in line with what the Buddha is teaching. It's a there's a fundamental dividing point of what is kind of correct meditation. What is a correct appropriate concentration? And the very first thing that one has to be looking at is there mindfulness? Is there awareness? Is that awareness, is that knowing, is it clear? Because sometimes there's this kind of fuzzy, drifty sort of knowing, sort of not. Doesn't really qualify. It's not up to the standard of the Buddhas. So one is breathing in, as one is breathing out, looking after the quality of knowing, using the whole experience of body mind as a foundation, as a basis for the meditation practice.